National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. The date is May 9th, 1997. And Howard Braun and Salma Weiss are interviewing Robert Frommerman.
In the sunroom of his very nice home on Darlington Road?
Right.
Correct.
And you are?
And would you please tell us your name and address?
My name is Robert Frommerman, and I live at 5423 Darlington Road.
With
my wife, Marcia.
And
okay, we'll start with your family. Well, your immediate family, and then we'll go and tell us about your ancestors, your mother and your father, where they're from. Let's start with your mother and father family. So just tell me, you know, where they came from, what their names were, etc.
My mother was Goldie Saskell, and she lived in Mamaroneck, New York. She came to this country, I believe she was 6 years old, with her family from Russia. And I have to stop and count the brothers and sisters. At any rate, there were several, of whom Goldie was the eldest. And her mother died when she was a small child, perhaps 9 or 10. And she was kind of the official raiser of the family. Her father remarried at some point, and the stepmother, although not unpleasant, was not greatly enamored of the previous family, and she too had two children of her own that she brought along. In fact, one of those children, a son Nathan, married one of my mother's siblings, her sister Betty, and so that was a very close relationship. My grandfather, Isidore Saskell, came from Russia.
How do you spell Saskill?
S-A-S-K-I-L-L. And he came with his wife, whose name I either don't know or can't remember. He was a rather colorful character. He served in the Russian army, and I lately got hold of some Russian documents on his service and just had these translated, and that was kind of entertaining. But at any rate, he was in with a company of Cossacks whom he despised. He couldn't stand them. They were filthy bums, and they used the same brush on their shoes and their hair, so that labeled the Cossacks for him. And he came home on furlough, got a punctured eardrum, which resulted in his discharge from the Russian army, whereupon he came to New York and settled in Mamaroneck in Westchester County. And he had a dry goods store there, of which I have only the faintest memories, but it was such a nice store and it smelled so good. It had just about everything. In those days, dry goods stores had thread and needles and all sewing accoutrements and goods, and they carried, I think, a sideline of shoes. It was sort of a small clothing general store.
You say you smelled. That means you were there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But I remember it only as a small child.
In Mamaroneck?
In the Mamaroneck, New York. His wife, my grandmother, I believe died in childbirth. And this was attributed to the incompetence of the attending physician. And my grandfather became bitterly angry with this position, and he told his story all over town until finally the doctor came to him and pleaded with him to cease and desist. because it was ruining his practice and he was starving. So my grandfather stopped. At one point in the game, he decided to test his popularity in the community. So he ran for sheriff, and he was promptly elected, I think by a pretty good majority. And he had been sheriff about a week, and someone came running into his dry goods store and said, "Quick, get your gun. There's a rabid dog coming down the street, and you've got to shoot him." And my grandfather said, "I didn't become sheriff to shoot dogs. I resigned." And that was the end of his term as sheriff. I used to go back and forth to Mamaroneck many times with my mother, and I was born in and grew up in a small town of Rochester, Pennsylvania, nearby Pittsburgh, 25 miles northwest of Pittsburgh on the Ohio River. And we used to go back and forth to New York quite frequently because my mother loved to visit. She loved to visit her sister Betty, and she saw her other relatives, Betty and Bill, her brothers, and her father. And I remember being taken when I was a small boy to Orienta Point, which is on Long Island Sound. Orienta Point was the scene of D.W. Griffith's early movies. And my mother and her sister Betty, my aunt, remember vividly going to Orienta Point and sitting on the sidelines and watching D.W. Griffith film his movies.
What was your aunt's last name?
Her married name was Hink, H-I-N-C-K. And her husband, as I said, was the son of her stepmother. I remember on one occasion we went to Orienta Point, and my grandfather wanted to take me out on the point a little ways to see the beach, to see the scene of the early movie sets. And we came to the road had a big iron chain across it, heavily fastened to two posts, and it said, big letters, "No trespassing." And my grandfather said, "Come," and he lifted me over it and he said, "This sign is not for us." I remember another memory I have of my grandfather, and I really enjoyed him. He came to my bar mitzvah, which was in August, the middle of August, and it was one of the hottest summers we ever had. And he did not suffer heat gracefully, as I don't also. And he came and he was just pouring through the whole occasion, grumbling and groaning, but he loved every minute of it. And of course, in those days, you didn't take your coat off, you didn't take your coat or tie off. I mean, formal occasions were formal occasions, after all.
No air conditioning either.
Air conditioning? What on earth was that? Where was I and how shall I backtrack it to where?
Let's see. Your mom and dad.
Okay, that was my mother. Shortly after I was born, my mother became very ill. And I remember she was off and on in the hospital. And I remember as a small child visiting her in the hospital. And I remember a big bunch of flowers in the room. And each day I came to visit, and each day I came home with a flower as a souvenir. But at any rate, for the rest of her life, my mother was quite sickly, and this was a kind of a downer on our family with respect to our ability to do many things. My father, I believe, was one of seven siblings. Again, I'd have to stop and count. His name was Nathaniel. And I must confess, I'm unsure as to what the name was in the old country, because I have my grandfather's passport, German passport. Is it German or Russian? And at any rate, the name on it is not from it. So, you know, where this came about and how exactly, I'm unclear. But at any rate, his parents were from Central Europe, and off and on, I guess they were part of Russia. And they grew up on as a small child, his family lived on a big lake. It was a fishing lake. And one of the ways they made their living was by fishing. And when he came to America, part of the family went to Oklahoma and were part of the oil boom. One of the family became very wealthy, at one point owned the St. Regis Hotel in New York City. And my father spent his earlier days in Marietta, Ohio. He left...
What year is that about?
I really have to look up when he was born. He was born in the late 1800s, and whether it was 1892 or thereabouts, or a little later. And he left home when he was about maybe 14 to go find work. And one of the places he went to work was Akron, Ohio. And he worked in rubber factories. And I think he worked in a Goodrich plant that made rubber belting for conveyors. And he used to tell stories of all these ingenious ideas that he came up with that altered the production line and their ways of doing business. And here he was, this young kid, really kind of a gopher, if you like. But he learned a good deal about the rubber business. And then he came to Pittsburgh and he worked in a box factory. He did the same thing in a box factory with all kinds of production ideas. And he was always very well thought of and very popular where he worked, apparently. He had no trouble getting jobs. Although he remembers that in the days when he worked in Akron, on this enormous lawn of the rubber company, hundreds of men would be sprawled, waiting and hoping to be called to work. And if you so much as looked at a foreman cross-eyed, you were out, back on the lawn again. So it was a very difficult time for labor. You can understand why the unions, what gave birth to the unions.
What was his first job in Pittsburgh? You say he worked in
his first job in Pittsburgh was in a box factory.
Box factory. Mm-hmm.
And he remembered the chronology of this escapes me. You know, like many of us, I wasn't all that curious about the origins of the family, and I didn't ask the right questions until it was much too late. There wasn't anybody left to answer them. But at any rate, he did spend some time in Oklahoma, and he remembers driving horse-drawn rigs, delivering things like drilling pipe. The relative who was in the oil fields was selling oil field supplies and drilling pipe and all those good things. And he's the one that became wealthy out of all of this. unfortunately, my father didn't stay in the oil fields. But he finally, and by the way, when he was living in Pittsburgh, the family, his family, was still back in Marietta, Ohio. And he came to New York and had a date arranged with my mother. And they met on this arrangement and they liked each other and began to go with each other, and he began to go back and forth on the train, and finally they married, and they honeymooned in Bermuda. And when they went to Bermuda, that was, we didn't fly to Bermuda in those days, that was a big steamship journey. And when they got there, they fell in love with Bermuda, and they had just hundreds and hundreds of pictures that they took, photographs that they took, which I later got hold of and enjoyed printing the negatives and seeing where all they had been. But they overstayed the time they had planned to be in Bermuda. So they ran out of money and they had to wire back to get money to prolong their stay. Somehow it was very hard for me to imagine my serious, responsible father being in that position. Meanwhile, he met the gentleman who married my Aunt Sarah, and the two of them got together and started in business in Rochester, Pennsylvania.
That's his sister's
husband, yes. His name was Ralph Levitan.
L-E-V-I-T-A-N.
And he and Ralph decided they would go into the upholstery business, which neither of them knew anything about. And I guess somehow they hacked their way through it for a little while, and one day they got a sofa that was in pretty bad condition, and they tore it apart, and they never ever did get it back together again properly. And I don't know how they settled that affair with the owner of the sofa, but at any rate, that was the end of the upholstery business. And my father used a contact that he had made in Akron, and he became the first Goodyear tire dealer in, I think, all of Western Pennsylvania. And he had a store on the main street of Rochester on Brighton Avenue. And in front of the store was a gasoline pump, not the kind that you see these days. No credit cards. And he sold tires and accessories. And I remember spending many hours of my boyhood in that store, loafing there, visiting my uncle, visiting with my cousin, and working there a little bit. The family then followed my father to Rochester, and I remember they had a house on Hine Street. It was an old wooden house, and the sink had a hand pump in it. And I don't remember much more about it, although I think I could still go to the location. They weren't in that house very long when they bought another house, which was another wooden old house, but it sat high up on a little spit of land that looked over the Ohio River, and you could see the bends of the Ohio River in both directions. And the most notable thing about that house was its view. I'm trying to make some kind of coherence out of this, and it isn't sort of rambles around, and it isn't terribly easy.
No, you're doing really great. How old were you when they bought this house? Approximately.
Well, I'm going to guess that I might have been 8 or 9 years old. But I remember the early house. I particularly remember the pump. The pump fascinated me. Not everybody had a pump, you know. My father's cohort in upholstery became his partner in their auto business, and they had two stores. Each one had his respective store, and they operated somewhat together and somewhat apart. I'm not sure that they got along all of that well. In later years, they didn't waste many words on each other. But out of that family came my two cousins, Morris and Sylvia. Sylvia was 2 years older, and Morris was 4 years older. And they were some of my earliest playmates. We kind of grew up together. Morris now lives in Willamette, Illinois, and he has a business manufacturing machines that encapsulate things like cars, passport covers, and such. But at any rate, we were very close as kids, and we used to go on long walks together. And some of our adventures, I remember, took us to the outskirts of Rochester, which was hilly and woodsy and countryish. And I remember one time we were sitting on a rock looking down the valley enjoying the countryside, and we were caught in a brush fire, which was a very frightening experience to me then, although it really wasn't particularly dangerous. It was very easy to escape from, but I guess small kids don't assess these situations quite in perspective. I'm trying to think what else to tell you about the family that might be fun or interesting. Shall I continue along that track?
Sure.
In going back and forth with my mother to Mamaroneck, one of the occasions I remember was being in Grand Central Station and not seeing President Hoover. I was too little to see over the crowd, and everybody kept pointing. I just never saw President Hoover, so that was my big chance. At any rate, we visited my Aunt Betty, who was very close to my mother. And she lived in a rather marvelous apartment with a central and two adjacent wings on either side. And I must have been, perhaps six, maybe 5, 6 years old. And I used to go down and play, and the grounds were lovely, and it had a nice backyard. It was kind of woodsy, and had squirrels and rabbits and all of those good things. And at that time, Westchester County was so clean and so beautiful compared with this dingy old mill town of Rochester that I just loved to go there and visit. But at any rate, I was down playing, and I got hungry, and I had to go to the bathroom. And I went up to my aunt's door and knocked. A stranger answered the door, and I was lost. And I went to other doors, and I couldn't find her. And so I went back down to the courtyard, and I cried at the top of my lungs. And it turned out that I was in the wrong wing of the building. So at any rate, I was rescued. My Aunt Betty had a good deal of imagination. She knew that I liked stamps because they were kind of exotic relative artifacts from faraway places. So she presented me with stamps, but she had her own way of doing it. There was a nice roof on this apartment building where people went to sit in the sun and hang their clothes. And there were folding chairs up there, wooden folding chairs. She pasted stamps on these wooden folding chairs so I could go up and discover them. At any rate, that was the kind of imagination that she used. We were very close during my growing up years. And I remember I used to look forward to the birthday present from Aunt Betty, because Aunt Betty did not send me clothes. She sent me useful things.
Smart Aunt Betty.
Right. It was a lot of fun to visit that part of the world, and up until World War II, and in fact, the close of World War II, every time I went to New York, I felt like I was going home, because that part of the world was just, it was familiar, and it was pleasant, and it had good associations. And then other things happened in New York City.
What?
My attitudes changed.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your early schooling.
Oh, well, let's get, what about your siblings?
I have no brothers or sisters.
Okay.
So that's very easily disposed of.
Okay, so, okay, right, so we'll start with your schooling. And, well, you really obviously had a really pleasant childhood, too. You know, remembering all those nice memories. So let's talk about where you went to school and also, you know, the religious atmosphere of the house.
There was no real kindergarten available in Rochester, so I started to school in first grade. And just a month after I turned six, I was born in 1924, so I started school in 1930, and of course that was in the middle of the Depression. But at that time I wasn't particularly aware of the Depression.
Actually, I need your birth date, so you may as well give what month were you born and day?
August 14, 1924.
Okay.
And I started school and immediately took to school. By the way, before I started school, my mother tried to teach me to read, so she would handwrite little stories. And it isn't particularly, although she had a nice handwriting, it isn't particularly easy to learn to read on handwriting. And I guess she gave up on me. But I started school, and within weeks after beginning school, everything snapped into place, and suddenly I was reading. Also, suddenly I was very bored with Dick, See Dick, See Dick Run. And the teachers, I remember my first grade teacher, to Miss Gordon. She was a very sweet old maid. Most teachers were old maids in those days. That was the career for old maids. And that's what they were known as, old maids. But she was a very sweet lady, and she tried very hard to make school interesting. But It was a pretty tough go, and the resources were nil. So she began lending me books to take home. So I would take a book home, and read it, and bring it back the next morning. I would be done with it. And this kept up for a little while. And I didn't find out till later that she had given me the second grade reader, she gave me the third grade reader. When I got to those points in school, I was again bored silly, because I was going over these books that I had read early in first grade. Grade school was very pleasant. I can remember many of my teachers. I can remember in second grade the biggest news event and widely discussed even among second graders was the Lindbergh kidnapping and the trial.
They all became frightened.
Well, it wasn't, we weren't frightened, but we were, it just captured the nation's imagination and interest, and so we heard a lot about it. Not that we were all that news conscious. I remember years later going out for the first time Halloweening with a group of other kids, and one of the girls with the group said, I'm Republican, what are you? And I had no idea what she was talking about. So I had to go find out. I'm trying to think what else was... I can visualize that school building, by the way.
What grades did it run through?
It went... The grade school went from 1 to 6. And as a matter of fact, it was a block away from where my cousin lived. When I first started school, my mother insisted on walking me to school, and it was about maybe a 15-minute walk or 20-minute walk. And then she insisted on coming to pick me up. And this went on for a little while, and I was kind of